I have to say, no one in the development industry is going to challenge any of the overarching objectives that Eric, you've outlined today. Yes, we want a streamlined process. Yes, we want probably development assessment panels, which will make things go faster and not get bogged down in local politics. And yes, we want an integrated approach to infrastructure and land use planning. I have to say, I think, personally, I think we've got one of the best teams heading up the planning bureaucracy that we've had for a long time, and Eric, Gary, and also Charles Johnson. And I say, as an active participant in your domain for the last three decades, I can offer you unmitigated support to achieve your outcomes, and I don't think anyone in this room would not deny you the opportunity to try and get those outcomes. I also personally applaud your thrust into strategic planning, which I think has languished terribly over the last decade in this state. But speaking as the industry representative, I suggest that, you know, what needs to be recognised is that as development becomes more complex each day, and we are every day required to produce more activities and uses within every subdivision or urban development or environment that we produce. I can tell you the easy sites have been developed and we are now encountering land which is more difficult to bring to market, and they all have seemed to have significant environmental constraints. In your Directions 2031, great aspirational document, sets growth targets, scenarios to cater for our population growth. As I say, the devil is in the detail. And whilst I support your strategic objectives, I say that some of the... I'm going to make these comments so that I hope some of the initiatives will proceed beyond just the printed page. Because I've seen in my life too many of these documents gather dust. In order to achieve one of your directions, in Directions 2031, you make the statement to make more efficient use of land and infrastructure. Can't argue with that. But you then go on and you make a requirement to increase our greenfields urban fringe land from 10 dwelling units per hectare to 15 dwelling units per hectare. A big jump. My question is, give me an example where we have achieved already a 15 dwelling unit per hectare across any greenfield site of 1,000 to 3,000 lots, because I can't find one, and I've spent the last week ringing every consultant in this town and we haven't got one. So I don't know how we're going to do it, right? Because if you take the gross land and by the time you take out all the environmental issues, roads, you know, etc., it's hard bloody work. I am being grumpy. My second question is, if we don't achieve the 15 dwelling units per hectare and we don't achieve the 47% urban refill infill, then are we heading for another land supply housing problem? Right? And finally, I think, you know, specifically, you state these targets in a policy document. And I can assure you, from my experience in dealing with this, if you nominate them, they will become a mandated criteria of any approval agency that we have to go towards. If the guy can't tick the box, we won't get an approval. Right? You then go on about activity centres. And again, I agree with the objective to diversify shopping centres to town centres. I fully support the removal of the cap on floor space, which limits the size of a shopping centre. But probably you've actually taken, you know, one problem, which was Appendix 2, which gave a cap, and you got rid of that. But now you've put another thing, which is Table 2, which demands that we have to have retail, residential and commercial uses all there. Now, what happens if we can't align the market to all go at the same time? Is that another reason for a refusal? So I really sort of question, and you also say that you want local government to deliver a centre plan. And I question, does local government have the skills, capacity and dollars to even complete a centre plan? And if there is no centre plan, is that a reason for a refusal? because that's been our problem for the last 5 years. So the aggressive reform agenda outlined today should receive wide support, but there's likely to be some frustration along the way and as we seek a more effective and efficient system. So I'll leave you with a quote from George Bernard Shaw that sums up my thoughts. And George Bernard Shaw said, "A reasonable man adapts himself to the world, and an unreasonable man persists in trying to adapt the world to himself." I then add, "If your targets and assumptions are wrong, I can assure you our progress will depend on the unreasonable statutory planner who can't tick the box of your number." So you did say in your delivery, Eric, that you would like to take the capacity to take a risk-based approach. And I ask you, as a reasonable man, can you adapt your rules over time as we respond to your challenges?